Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are so glad that you found your way here to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are lots of announcements in there, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship this morning for any of those lingering questions. All right, we've got quite a few announcements this morning, so we'll get started with Larry.
Good morning. As I warned you last Sunday, I'd be back. Anyways, yesterday we had a little bit of a market out front, in case any of you missed it. We cleared, just on the market part of it, not including youth food, a little over $1,000. So, had a lot of people helping, okay, even at the last minute. So, rather than forget a name, please, if you had anything to do with the flea market, please stand up. If you came and shopped, if you donated anything, please stand up. Okay, thank you very much. And be seated. There was a couple items left over. I think the purse got picked up. There's a pair of sunglasses. Keith Hadley says they are not his. They're pink Hello Kitty sunglasses. If you're missing them, they are in the copier room. Thank you all again for a great market.
Good morning, and on to the next. Member applications for Church Mouse will be on the rack in the narthex after worship. They'll be sent to the rest of the villagers next week. So it's first come, first serve. We have fewer spaces this year with Presbytery moving in, so just so everyone's aware. Thank you.
Good morning. So I just wanted to give a great big thank you to Beth Molina for running the youth food booth at the flea market. We made over $742 towards our mission trip, and thank you to Keith Hadley for manning the grill and all of the other youth who came and helped. We had a fun day together. For those of you going on the Senior High Work Project, we have a Q&A session right after worship today. If you have any questions about it, your registration and deposit is also due today. And finally, our Children's Sunday is next week. Our children will be having their last rehearsals during Sunday school today. And then next week, remember to wear your red. It is Pentecost. Children will be meeting in the adult lounge at 9:30 to get ready for our great worship service. So please look forward to next week with our children.
Just a reminder, renewal time continues. During the month of June, we'll be learning about Hinduism. There's details in your bulletin. Today, I'll be teaching the class on Hinduism, and we'll be doing that in room 2. So not the adult lounge, we'll be in room 2. Also, if you want to go to the Amaya restaurant on June 23rd, there's a sign up on the kiosk, so please sign up. Thank you.
Next Saturday, June 8th, we will be distributing food from the Food Link Mobile Food Pantry here at Gates Presbyterian. If the weather is at all questionable, we will be distributing food inside, so you don't need to worry about weather. It may be more convenient to do it outside if we have a beautiful day. But we do need volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk, and it will be from 10:30 in the morning. This is next Saturday. Until whenever we're finished cleaning up, which should be by 2 o'clock. Thank you.
There is also a sign-up sheet on the kiosk for summer special music. While our choir takes the months of July and August off, we look forward to those of you who have musical gifts and are willing to share serving the congregation through special music. So please find a date on the kiosk if you're willing to serve in that way. And any questions, find and ask me. Thanks much.
incredible opportunities to learn and serve and grow together as a Christian community. What a blessing it is to be part of this GPC church family. Now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together. Stand as you are comfortable and able, and join our voices together for the call to worship. The Spirit of God bids us come. Let everyone who hears within their hearts Come. Hear the whole earth rejoice and the coastlands sing of our God's steadfast love.
We come to rejoice in the Holy One, our God. We give thanks for God sets us free.
Let everyone who is thirsty for the Spirit come. Let anyone who wishes come and receive the water of life as a gift.
We come to rejoice in the Holy One, our God.
We give thanks for God's steadfast love that brings joy to our hearts in the night, lights our lives like the dawn, and sets us free. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. O God, who are always doing a new thing, we confess that sometimes close windows against the fresh air of new ideas, against the noise of other people's worries, against the winds of change. God of every place and time, we confess that we often draw the curtains against people who are different, against world news or community concerns. Forgive us our insulation in our locked homes, our shuttered churches, the security systems on our hearts. Open up our lives and let your Spirit blow through. Amen. Let us now silently confess our shortcomings with our Lord and Savior. Behold, there is a new heaven, a new earth, and a new city, where the river of life flows, where the tree of life bears fruit in every season. This heaven, this city, this river, this tree are a vision of your life, reborn, restored, and renewed. Thanks be to God.
At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. With such great energy. Good morning. Hi. Hi. Good morning. Well, you all seem to have a lot of energy this morning. Do you have energy this morning? No? Okay, good. I'm glad. You guys are faking it better than I am then, as my energy is not quite there. It's been a few weeks since I've had a chance to see you. I have been gone and just got back on the airplane this weekend. Does anyone remember where I went the last 2 weeks? I bet Nora remembers, since she lives in my house. Where was I, Nora? In Israel. I had a chance to go back to Israel and Palestine for 2 weeks. This is the third time that I have gone to visit. And this place that's pretty far away, a long time on an airplane, is the place where Jesus lived, where he was born, where he walked, and where he died. And I had a chance to go to all of these different places that talk and show us Jesus' life. And this time, one of the things that we spent a lot of time learning about was water. Do you know anything about water? Yeah. Butterflies? Sometimes. Was it raining on you today? Yes. Sewage? Yes, that's connected to water too, definitely. Did you see the rain today? When I got back, I was amazed at just how green the grass was, and I'm hearing that there's so much water in the lake. But in Israel, there is a lot of desert. Has anyone been to the desert before? Oh my goodness. Lots of rocks, lots of sunshine, and lots of dust. And so in a place where there is a lot of dust and rocks and not very much water, water becomes very, very important.
And dry.
Yeah, and dry, I know. And so part of what happened in the land where I had a chance to be is that we learned about how water is so important to who we are as people of faith. So I want to show you just a couple pictures. I'll turn them around. Ready? So, as Christians, water is important to us, and when we talk about baptism, and a common, I'm going to hold it up so other people can see, ready? So a common symbol of baptism in Israel for Christians is a seashell. So everywhere you go, you'll see seashells, sometimes carved out of stone, sometimes on rocks. And then also in Israel, there are lots of these. In the Jewish tradition, it is very, very important to wash your hands before you worship. Can you imagine if before you came to church every Sunday, you washed your hands? They had a special cup that had two handles, and every holy place had an opportunity for those who are Jewish to wash their hands. And then there's one other religion that you find a lot in Israel, and that's the Muslim faith. And before Muslims go and worship, they also wash not just their hands, but their face and their feet. I know, it's so cool. If you go into a mosque like the one that's right there, you have to go in with no shoes on. Imagine coming to church
with no shoes on every Sunday. It's a sign of respect. I know, for God. And so I learned a lot about water while I was there, and it helps us remember about God's life and love for each of us. So today, when you go out, back outside, take just a minute, feel the rain on your face, and remember that God's love is for you. Can we pray together? Ready? Let's pray. Show me. However you want to put your hands together, if they seem a little busy. Up if you can not whack your neighbor, right? All right. Let's pray. Dear God,
thank you
for water. It cleans us. It helps us when we're thirsty. And shows your love. Amen. Amen. And it does clean up the garbage. You are correct, my friend. You have fun practicing for next Sunday. I can't wait to worship with you then.
What a joyful time. The first reading of the word today is Psalm 97, the glory of God's reign. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame. Those who make their boast in worthless idols, all gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice. Because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name.
Our second reading of the word today also finds its way to the river in the book of Revelation. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star, and the Spirit as the bride says, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints, now and evermore. Amen. Water is life. Whether our hands are touching it or the words of a song touch our heart and is deeply symbolic, for all three faith traditions, as I shared with the children, Christian and Jewish and Muslim, and no place is that more evident than in the Holy Land. What the children could not see in those three individual pictures, the shell symbolizing Christian baptism, they are just a few steps away from a basin used for wudu, the Muslim ritual cleansing before prayer. And turn just another corner in the holy city of Jerusalem, and there will be sinks with those two-handled cups for washing of hands, observed by many groups of the Jewish faith. And our spiritual texts are abundant with water stories, starting from the very beginning of creation to the flood and the great drought of Joseph's time, Moses parting the Red Sea, or the Jewish ancestors crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Water serves both as signs of God's power and the certainty of God's care. And close to water, we find places where human beings see God and receive blessings. In the story of Hagar, when Ishmael's banned mother desperately seeks water in the desert, an angel appears, miraculously revealing a spring that saves her and her young son from certain death. And then the power of water as a symbol of fertility and the spiritual feminine is evident in these ancient stories of our Bible and in this place. Three of Israel's patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, meet their wives at a well, signaling their unions will be fertile. David spied on Bathsheba while she was bathing and later takes her as his bride. And together they produce Solomon, arguably Israel's wisest ruler. Water is life. Just as water is present with the Spirit before creation, in the last book of the Bible here in Revelation, life-giving water flows from the very being of God's own self. The New Testament, we may be more familiar with these stories of water. The Jordan River, the major source of water in Israel, is where John baptizes hundreds of people, including Jesus. The Sea of Galilee, where Jesus preached many sermons. And a well, where Jesus meets a woman looking for a drink. And that woman is met with living water, blessed, and offers blessings with her own life. Over the last 2.5 weeks on this pilgrimage to Israel and Palestine with Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School, I traveled with our group and we had the opportunity to visit almost all of these ancient biblical places of water from the scriptures. When two of the leaders approached me about going on this trip, I wasn't sure I needed a third time in the Holy Land until they told me the theme: thirsting for justice, for the God of justice and peace in a dry and weary land. And I was hooked. There was no way I was going to pass up an opportunity to facilitate a trip studying and experiencing these most sacred places through the lens of water. When Matt and I were there last July, he can attest to my obsession with taking pictures of every cistern and fountain and pool and mikveh and font. Prior to our departure, I wrote and gathered prayers and reflections and scripture for a devotional book for the group. I pored over the pages of scripture for every reference of water and matched them with the destination for our day and invited participants to think deeply about the ways that water is a symbol of hope and life for the people in this region. And that sets the context for our scripture passage this morning. This is how John, a devout Jew, a mystic, who lived out his life in exile on the Isle of Patmos, vividly writes about water throughout the book of Revelation. John's visions and writings came during a time of deep anxiety in the life of the early church, a time when people were wondering when or even if Jesus would ever return to rescue them from their persecution under the occupation of Rome. And the theory that it describes the way that the world will end, this book of Revelation, is a relatively recent notion. This idea that Revelation is all about the apocalypse and the end of the world, it's only a 200-year-old idea. And all this idea has done is, I'm going to guess, scare you. How many of you have actually sat down and read the book of Revelation? I won't make you raise your hands, but I'm going to guess not very many of us. Because when we get into it, it becomes confusing. We're not sure what it is about this story that we are supposed to take away and live with our faith. And so in turn, it has been used as a way to exploit people, to demonize people they disagree with politically, to make other people massively, obscenely rich by writing very long fiction books about the end of the world, all with this idea to invite the imagination to be scared about what the end of the world might be like. But this book that John writes was not written to scare. It was actually written to comfort. It was written for hope. One author says that Revelation is not about how the world will end. It's about how John's world
ended. The destruction of the temple, the long, agonizing wait for Jesus to come and to save and to comfort. And now here we have heard the verses, the last ones of this book, and John shows us a river. More accurately, John tells us how an angel showed him the river. And the river is described in just a few verses back like this, that it flows with the water of life. It flows from the throne of God. It flows through the middle of the streets of the city. Its water, the tree of life, which gives 12 kinds of fruits and whose leaves will be used for the healing of the nations. These words and images were especially powerful for me on this trip, because one of the most pervasive thoughts I have when visiting this holy land is, this is what it will look like when the world will end. With a statement like that, I'm guessing I won't be asked to headline for any tourist companies in Israel, but that first step off the plane, you just can't ignore the ways that God's people are thirsting for peace and justice in this dry and weary land. We were there during a very unusual time. Spring had just been a few weeks ago, and the temperatures were comfortable, and it had rained. And while we were there, there were heat emergencies issued as the temperatures climbed into the hundreds. It's not summer there yet. But very, very quickly, you could see the gap of those who had access to very limited amounts of water and who does not. As I shared with the children, this is a desert land. But the Israeli people proudly boast of their ability to make the desert bloom. And it is. It's impressive to see patches of green lawn, blooming flowers, until I learned that this was at a cost to others, to the Palestinian people who are prevented from maintaining or developing their own water infrastructure. So as a result, thousands of Palestinians are unable to access safe and clean water supplies, while automatic sprinkler systems run and swimming pools are filled in other parts of the country. And it's a common occurrence for water and sanitation structures to be demolished by Zionist extremist settlements. Springs are heavily guarded by a military presence, and wells are poisoned. And sometimes the water is completely turned off. This is especially true for the vulnerable populations in Gaza, which our group could not even get close to because only human rights workers and journalists can enter this military-controlled area, just a small part of the country, 25 miles long by 5 miles wide. But we didn't need to enter into Gaza to see for ourselves the quiet heaving of water, the ever-shrinking Dead Sea, and the murky waters of the Jordan. To see the site where Jesus was baptized is to enter into knee-high amounts of mud, because the Jordan River is irrigated to support a growing population and expanding agriculture that includes thirsty crops not naturally suited to this arid region. But this was my first time at the Jordan River. I couldn't not go to hear the words of revelation about the waters that flow within our own faith tradition, to imagine going down to the river as the choir sang. You imagine in your own minds the crystal clear water. But this was actually the first time I had been there, because the site had been closed for decades, as the army cleared and removed landmines that had been placed along the edge. Despite these very human choices to harm one another and creation with this gift that God has given to us, I keep coming back to this notion and this invitation from Scripture that invites us to come. Everyone who is thirsty is told to come. No qualifications or prerequisites are given. No need to prove what citizenship you have. No limitations are posted regarding who is allowed to enjoy the drink of salvation. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life. And this is where I join the author in hoping. Why I keep returning back to the Holy Land and bringing back what I learn with me here. Because even when it looks like the end of the world around us, and you don't have to get on an airplane and travel halfway around the world to see that, whatever images are in your minds and in your eyes and in your hearts, as they pertain to water or not, God keeps inviting us to return. To justice, to hope, to imagine it, to work for it. For those who thirst for justice and hope are invited to quench their heart's longing in the life-giving water. May it be so for you and for me now and always. Amen. Thank you.
Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here this day, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts that you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites all those who trust him to share in this feast which he has prepared. For according to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is always right to thank and praise you, loving God, the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and end. You bid us come, all who are thirsty, come, all who are hungry, come. From the beginning of creation, you have shown yourself to your people and revealed your purpose to dwell within them always. Despite your invitation, we have wandered away, preferring the taste of dust and sin to the gift of the water of life. By your grace, this water makes all things new, and so we rejoice with all who are water-washed and spirit-born, and in the company of those who have crossed over Jordan into the promised land of everlasting life with you. We join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and every place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes to the grave of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
We listen and hear you whisper through the winds of creation. To this earth, you sent your Son, Jesus, to show us a way to love you and each other. Teaching us about your love, he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table. Refusing to let sin, pain, and death have the final word, he went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Send now your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup, O God, simple gifts from the earth, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed from the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit and your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's love gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy, so that they might remember He asks us to repeat this act again and again, and he did so, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and grace and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life and for faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never thirst." Taste the goodness of God's grace. Said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste the strength and love of God."
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of love, wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
And gathered in community, we bring together our hearts, our voices, and also the prayers of joy and concern, those that are on our hearts, those that have words, and those that remain there. But we do, in fact, gather and pray together. If you have a prayer of joy or concern, raise your hand. Let us know who you are.
Jim Poole. Prayers for Howard Falke. He fell and broke four ribs. He's recuperating at home, and his son Daryl is stationed with him now for the next few weeks. So
prayers for Howard Falky, who recently had a fall.
On our last trip to Guatemala, our delegation visited a little community called La Puya. And La Puya has been in peaceful resistance to illegal mining that's going on in their region. And those people have been under attack recently. They're being sued by the World Bank and American Development Bank for not getting the profits that they want. They've been beaten. They've been harassed. And threats of death against them. So please keep the peaceful people of La Puya in your prayers and hope that they prevail.
Amen.
Kate Stanford, prayer for a patient of mine's son who was attacked walking home from the corner store. He was hit in the head multiple times with stones by some of the other neighborhood kids, and just that the tensions don't continue to rise and that he's okay.
Prayers for him.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Irene Ward, as I understand Tom retired this week.
I've already got him signed up for hours starting tomorrow, Irene, so don't worry.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Just asking prayers for my mom tomorrow as she undergoes knee replacement surgery, and if anybody deserves a textbook operation and recovery, it's my mom, so thank you.
Amen. Prayers for your mom, Tracy.
Barb Snaith, I have a joy, and it's about something I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be starting to be a wish granter for Make-A-Wish. I did it for 10 years with the Starlight Children's Foundation in New York City, and I'm going to be meeting my first wish kid next week that wants to meet the actor that does Spider-Man.
Ooh, all right.
So that could be exciting.
Prayers of joy for you, Barb. Congratulations. Any other prayers this morning? Velta
Rushon, just a joy to have our son, Philippe, visiting, and our daughter-in-law, Candice, visiting us, and Omar, who will be traveling later to join us. So I ask for a safe journey for him as well.
Amen. Thank you. Welcome home, and prayers of journey for Omar. And I hear they're here to celebrate a birthday, so almost happy birthday. The prayer that I would like to share with you this morning is the prayer that our group said together every single evening during our worship and devotional time, focusing on water. So let us pray together. Moving over the waters of the deep, Creator God, you called forth creation. Awaken us to the reality that water is life for your whole creation and all creatures. Hear now our prayers with those people of all faiths, especially in this time and place, those of Jews and Muslims and Christians. We are all children of Abraham, yet we are torn apart by selfishness and greed and dehumanization. We are all blessed by the sacredness of water, flowing in rivers, gathered in ritual baths, poured out in the washing of feet. Yet we treat water as a resource to be exploited rather than as a gift for life. We pray for the leaders of all nations, corporations, and communities around the world that they may exercise wise stewardship over the waters of this earth so that all your people have access to clean water to drink and to live. We confess how easily we have colluded with commodification and privatization of water the sake of profit for a few. We confess we have been spectators as water has been bottled and controlled and diverted in the name of progress. Make us bold to stand together with those who witness and work for living water for all people. We pray for wisdom to shape creative and courageous ways to sustain the integrity of the earth water and to share it equitably, especially in the dry and weary lands where people thirst for water to drink, for the waters of justice. We pray for the Holy Land, a dry and weary land where the control of water has been integral to the settled colonization. In all places and for all your people, O God, let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God, whose spirit brooded over the waters of creation, we praise you for the gift of water given, for water brought forth from rocks, for water to quench the thirst of many dying on their wilderness journey, for living water given in Jesus, so that we may not thirst again. With thanksgiving and in love, we pray with those who still thirst. We lift to you those who do not have access to clean water, those who suffer and die because of diseases contracted from toxic water. And we pray for those who walk across deserts today, thirsting for refuge and for living water. And we long for a world where tears of grief and outrage are transfigured as morning dew and wellsprings of joy for all people who on this earth do dwell. May we who have been nurtured by the waters of our mother's wombs and have been buried and risen to new life in the water of baptism in Christ's body, awaken to our belonging one to another and enact deeds of kindness and mercy and justice making with prayers for God's reign on earth ever on our lips. In the name of your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us now receive with joy the morning offering.
God, your bounty is overwhelming, yet often we think it is our own doing and not yours. Help us to be grateful and to remember to share. Use these gifts we return to further your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
May we go from this place rejoicing, rejoicing with the love of God in our hearts, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit to get up, do it again. Alleluia. Amen.